Welcome to the Betting Pros Podcast. I'm Pat Fitzmaurice, joined as always by Bo McBrayer. The Florida swing is over. The PGA Tour now moves west and into Texas. Today we're going to preview the Texas Children's Houston Open from a betting perspective. We'll also recap the Valspar Championship. And at the end of the show, we will make our one-and-done picks for the week. You can just ignore mine and pay attention to Bo's if you're playing in these one-and-done leagues. The Betting Pros PGA Podcast is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy football enthusiasts already know that Underdog is the place to go for fantasy football best ball contests. But you might not have known that Underdog also has golf contests. Sign up for Underdog if you haven't already with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100. Plus, there's a special pick available for you in the lobby. More on Underdog and its golf contest a little later. Well, Bo, after a pretty good run for us over the last month or so, we came up empty on the final leg of the Florida swing, although there was briefly some hope for your long shot pick last week. Kevin Roy, who went off at 500-1, shot an opening round 65 to get our hopes up and was one off the lead. Stumbled a bit on Friday, bounced back on Saturday, but then just couldn't get it going on Sunday. Roy did finish tied for 12th, so it was a valiant effort for a 500-1 long shot. But the winner was Peter Malnati, longtime PGA Tour, also ran member of the PGA Tour Policy Board. So I guess now he, you know, won't have to set himself up with exemptions to get in any events. He'll be exempt for a while. Better known probably for wearing bucket hats and playing a yellow ball than for contending in tournaments. But credit where credit is due. Malnati opened with a 66 and closed with a very impressive 67 on a Sunday when birdies were not that easy to come by on the Copperhead course. So Malnati began his back nine with three straight birdies, then made a clutch birdie on the par 3 17th, hitting his tee shot to within 7 feet and draining the putt. Malnati also caught a really nice break on the 16th hole. For those of you who saw, hit his approach shot into some thick rough, and a rules official allowed him to take a drop onto the fringe of the green, which was pretty interesting because of a sprinkler head. Malnati was then able to get up and down for a par, goes on to that birdie on the next hole. So he finished 12 under par, two shots better than Cameron Young, who's still looking for that elusive first win. I don't want to throw any shade at Cam Young, though. He posted four rounds in the 60s at the Valspar, which is not easy to do. Bo, even though we didn't hit a winner at Valspar, I feel like we got the sort of tournament we were expecting with Scottie Scheffler taking the week off. There were a lot of players in contention over the weekend. After two rounds, we had a multi-way tie for the lead and about 30 players within three shots of the lead. Scottie doesn't show up and all of a sudden things get a lot more competitive. What say you, Bo? Any takes on the Valspar?
Well, I didn't completely strike out. I profited on the week as a whole, thanks to top five bets on both Cameron Young and Xander Schauffele. And I also had a top 20 bet on Kevin Roy, which was 7-1. So it turned out,
oh, nice.
Turned out pretty profitable, even though I didn't have Peter Malnati. I had it surrounded. So we didn't make as much as we could have, but we did make a good chunk in return on investment. So I finished the Florida swing on a positive note, even though it wasn't maybe what we were looking for with that outright Cam Young win, which would have been, I think, 22 or 25-1. That would have been really sweet. But I'll take the 915K in our one and done. We'll talk about that later. That was a great pick by me, I must say. But I love the Valspar. I actually am a big fan of this upcoming event that we're going to talk about in Houston. Because even though it's not Carnage, it's Bomb and Gouge, which is my own type of play.
Yeah, I'm excited about Houston, too. We have not seen Houston in the spring for a while, and it's a different type of golf than these guys have been playing in Florida. We'll get to details on that in just a moment. But first, our friends at Underdog Fantasy are letting you make picks on your favorite golfers all season long. Just pick higher or lower on selected stats for 2 to 5 golfers, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single day. You can also make rivals picks, choosing, for example, which of 2 golfers would shoot a better score in a round. Golf picks can be combined with player stats from other sports too. So go sign up today at Underdog Fantasy with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit matched up to $100. And there's a special pick available for you in the lobby as well. So, Bo, yes, the Houston Open is once again a spring event. The last 4 editions of the Houston Open were played in November, and the tournament wasn't played at all in 2023. But back in 2018, the Houston Open was the week before the Masters. Now it's 2 weeks before the Masters, but it seems like the host course, Memorial Park, might be a pretty good tune-up for Augusta. It's a par 70 course that's going to play to 7,435 yards, so it's on the long side. And as with Augusta National, pretty generous fairways. And if you miss the fairway, the rough is not super penal. The shorter rough is going to be a welcome change for a lot of these guys after what they encountered in Florida the last few weeks with some pretty gnarly rough. There was also, or is, very little water compared to what these guys have been seeing at places like Copperhead and TPC Sawgrass and, of course, Bay Hill. So I think water comes into play on only a handful of holes, and there are only about 20 bunkers on the entire course. There used to be a lot more, but there was a redesign about 5 years ago, and they took out about 2/3 of the bunkers on the course. 3 of the 20 bunkers surround the 18th green. The greens are Bermuda. They're big. They're fast. There are a lot of runoff areas around the green, so we're probably going to see a lot of chip shots from tight lies this week. There are a lot of long par fours here, Bo. 5 of them measure 490 yards or longer, and 3 of them are 500 yards or longer, including the 522-yard first hole and the 503-yard finishing hole. The 14th hole is 529 yards long. So we are going to see some long approach shots this week. 5 par threes, 2 of them over 200 yards, but 3 of them are pretty short by PGA Tour standards, ranging from 155 yards to 182 yards. Memorial Park has hosted the Houston Open 3 times. The 3 players who've won here: Tony Finau won the last Houston Open to be played at Memorial Park in November of 2022, finished 16 under par, 4 shots ahead of Tyson Alexander. Jason Kokrak won at Memorial Park in 2021 with a score of 10 under par, and Carlos Ortiz won here in November of 2020 with a score of 13 under par. And oh yes, Bo, we should talk about the weather this week, because things could get interesting in Houston. They are expecting benign conditions on Thursday, sunny with light winds, highs in the upper 70s. But then the wind picks up in the next 3 rounds, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they are talking about winds in the 15-mile-an-hour to 25-mile-an-hour range. This course is no pushover to begin with, Bo, and the average score, I think, is something like 70.5, so it's half a stroke over par. If the Texas wind blows 15 to 25 for 3 days of this tournament, we're going to see some big numbers, don't you think? What do you make of Memorial Park, and what will it take to conquer this course?
It'll take a pretty decent total bag experience to win here. Where the average score is just a hair over par, your winning score is probably going to be in the neighborhood 20 under still. I expect to see some 65s and 66s. Or if you get a guy who goes out there and shoots 67 or 68 for 4 days, that could do it. This is a course that, even with wind, it's kind of to be expected. It's Texas. That the one thing you know about Texas weather is it's windy a lot, and it's going to dry this course out. It's going to make those greens even faster. It's going to put more of an emphasis on the short game. So I do think that the particular style of golfer I'm looking for is a long hitter who is good at scrambling. So getting in and out of trouble, in getting the advantage that comes with driving distance and having a shorter club on approach because of those longer par fours that are you mentioned. It's going to be important for guys that have shorter mid irons that even if they're not as precise on approach, they can get away with it. And that's that quintessential bomb and gouge type course. That's why Tony Finau's won here. That's why Jason Kokrak won here. These are guys that hit the tar out of the ball off the tee. And after that, it's just making a score, putting the ball in the hole. So short game's important, driving distance, and of course, long approach distances will be there. But I'm looking for guys who can score. Par fours, par fives. I'm looking for guys that don't really have a weak spot when it comes to scoring birdies because they're still going to be out there. This course is not a pushover, but it's also not among the toughest on tour. And the field is stronger than it has been in years past because of where it falls on the calendar as a pre-Masters tune-up.
Well, we'll get to some of the players in just a minute. But first, if you want a chance to win a free one-year Betting Pros premium subscription, you need to subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. We'll be announcing a winner right here on the channel, so be sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and to claim your prize. So Scottie Scheffler is back in action this week, Bo, and he opens as a massive favorite. It's funny, Bo, I was on DraftKings looking at the odds earlier today, saw that he was plus 300 and said, wow, pretty low. Half an hour later, he was plus 260. People were pounding him at plus 300 and they moved the odds down to plus 260. I mean, that is peak Tiger Woods. A peak Tiger Woods price on Scottie Scheffler, shorter than 3-1. That's just amazing. Then it's Wyndham Clark at plus 1,200, Will Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala at plus 2,000, Tony Finau at plus 2,200, Jason Day at plus 2,500, Siwoo Kim at plus 2,800, Alex Noren at plus 3,500, Keith Mitchell plus 4,000, and Tom Hoagie and Steven Yeager at plus 4,500. First of all, Bo, do you have any interest in betting Scottie Scheffler at such short odds? I mean, two straight wins. He's finished second and ninth in his last two trips to Houston. Plus 260. What do you think?
And it's tempting, really. It really is tempting because the guy has such a penchant for winning tournaments and staring down some of these same guys. We saw him 2 weeks ago stare every single one of these guys at the end and say, I'm just better, and prove it that he was just better. At plus 260, that's a far cry from plus 550 that we got with his last win. I'm gonna shy away because it takes a lot of investment to put into one golfer. And yes, he is the best golfer in the world, but that's a lot of investment to get any bang for your buck, getting action on this tournament. I'd rather do it the fun way and just tip my cap to Scottie if he wins again. Give me Wyndham Clark. I think Wyndham Clark, who's finished runner up to Scottie the last two tournaments, I think he's going to get him this week because the course fits him a little bit better. This is one tournament that Scottie, even though he is a Texan, has not won this tournament yet. I say yet because he very well could win this one. But I think Wyndham Clark at plus 1,200 has been in such good form. And he's got the distance and he's got the scoring ability to hang with anybody on a course like this. So I'll start there. And then I'm going to Sahith Theegala because this guy is another. He's kind of a poor man's Wyndham Clark, except his short game's immaculate. That's one thing that stands out for me with Theegala is he's a long hitter. But if he's wayward on approach, it doesn't seem to affect him. This guy's short game's insanely good. So I love Theegala. I'm going to skip Tony Finau this week because his recent form has been terrible. I can't play a guy who's playing so poorly at such short odds. And then I'll wait to the next tier. But those two guys, Clark and Theegala, are the ones that I have circled and boldened and italicized on my sheet.
Yeah, Clark, I mean, you mentioned the back-to-back runner-up finishes, and he did finish 16th in his last trip to Houston. You mentioned Finau just not being in form. I totally agree. It's been 9 weeks since he recorded a top 10, and Valspar, let's see, missed the cut at Valspar, 45th at the Players' Championship. What about Will Zalatoris? So he missed the cut in his most recent event, the Players' Championship, but in his three previous events, 13th, 2nd, and 4th.
Yeah, and he's in really good form, too. I think his short game's good, but his putting's been so bad. It's been better, but it's not like he didn't have that Scottie Scheffler turnaround yet. So I'm going to skip Will Zalatoris, except for in DFS, where he certainly has the firepower to score lots of points in fantasy. As an outright guy, a 20-1, it's tempting because he does have the ability to go out and do that. But I'm looking at Clark and Thigala going, I trust them more in four rounds of golf. Like, if I'm saying first round leader, I might throw a little bit on Will Zalatoris to be the first round leader because he's got that go low type of ability. But as far as four solid rounds to put together to win this tournament, it's going to take that. And I don't know if Willie Z has more than three good days in him yet.
Yeah, that's fair. Man, I'm mildly interested in Tom Hoagie. Siwoo is interesting. Siwoo Kim has not missed a cut all year. Finished sixth at the Players' Championship, and he has five top 25 finishes in the eight events he's played in 2024. Pretty good. But I feel like I never know when he is going to contend, like seriously contend. It's just really unpredictable. Like, I either want to bet Siwoo every week or not at all. And I'm just, so far it's been not at all. And I think I might just continue that trend.
Yeah, he hasn't had that winning form yet this season. He's been steady, but steady doesn't pay the bills in this business. So let him go a little bit. This is kind of a place where he should do well. So I'm kind of interested to see if he rounds into some kind of form this week, but I'm not going to count on it. I'm not going to bet on it. As far as Hoagie goes, I don't know, man. That recent form is shaky at best.
Fair. Yeah, steady doesn't necessarily pay the bills, or at least it doesn't help you cash big oversized checks, Bo, but it does get you nice sponsorship deals sometimes. So there's that. All right, let's look at some of the mid-range options. Your guy, Kurt Kitayama, NorCal representing, and Bo Hostler are both at plus 5,000. Jake Knapp, Billy Horschel, and Aaron Rye are plus 5,500. Mackenzie Hughes, Doug Gim, and Akshay Bhatia are plus 6,000. Taylor Moore and Torbjørn Olesen are plus 7,000. Taylor Montgomery, Patrick Rogers, and Luke List are plus 7,500. And Joel Damon, Cam Davis, and Ben Griffin are plus 8,000. Do you like anyone from this group, Bo?
This whole group is loaded with guys I like. Not a big fan of Kitayama in this event because even though he's a longer hitter, he's more of a grinder type. So I guess if the wind is up three of those days, then I could maybe sneak some Kitayama live bets in. But I'm looking at Bo Hostler, who ranked extremely high in my model, and Jake Knapp, who fits this course like a glove. This is another type of place where you get that guy with that crazy ball speed and a really decent short game to kick off of that. Jake Knapp at 55-1. That's the similar number we got in Mexico when he won before. He's got every bit the firepower that I expect to do well here. And then you're going down to Mackenzie Hughes, and I'll throw a little bit at Luke List, I think, maybe on the live side, just because your tee to green guys here with a little bit of short game can do really well.
Yeah, so Jake Knapp, you mentioned his win at the Mexico Open and then followed it up with a fourth place finish at the Cognizant Classic in early March. But then he was 57th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and 45th at the Players' Championship. But hey, I mean, maybe it's just a Florida thing. Some guys,
courses for courses. Those are positional golf courses, and he's not a positional guy. He's a hit it as far as I can see and then deal with it later.
And he's going to encounter some roomier fairways this week. Yeah. So I understand the appeal. Bo Hostler, native Texan, recent form has not been great. It hasn't been terrible either. Got off to a really nice start, I think, at the beginning of the California swing at the Amex, and whatever followed that did pretty well. Oh, Pebble, the AT&T. But since then, you know, hasn't got it cooking, but maybe this is a place where he starts to find his game again. I could see that. You mentioned Mackenzie Hughes, Bo. Three trips to Memorial Park. He's finished 7th, 29th, and 16th. He's coming off a third place finish at Valspar and has finished 30th or better in three straight events. Hughes has done well in some various strokes gained categories on this course, and the numbers also suggest that he is a decent wind player, which could really help him if the wind does, in fact, blow hard on Friday through Sunday. So I like him. Aaron Rye is kind of interesting. Finished 19th and 7th in his two previous trips here, but he only has one top 30 in eight starts in 2024, and that was a 19th place finish. So not exactly in top form.
You're playing Aaron Rye. Just pivot to Doug Gim, who's playing out of his mind right now. Doug Gim's a much better player right now and fits this golf course better because he's a par five annihilator.
Yeah, he has been playing really well, although not well enough to cash in on my top 20 bet last week, Bo, but I won't hold it against him. What about long shots? Anyone who could potentially come out of left field and win this week?
That's the fun part about this tournament is even though we have a Scotty and a Wyndham Clark and a Will Zalatoris here and a Tony Finau, is I have a feeling that there's going to be a few guys that pop up from 100 to 1 or deeper. First one being another NorCal guy, Cameron Champ, played extremely well last week at a course that didn't even really fit him, his game. I was impressed to see Cam Champ show up last week at the Valspar. I was shocked. I was like, Cameron Champ is competing at the Valspar right now? He's actually in contention. And that surprised me. That means he's found something, because typically we only see Cam Champ at this type of tournament where it's longer, wider fairways, lighter rough, where his distance advantage comes through. So Cam Champ at 110 to 1, that's a spectacular number for him. And then going down even farther, if you have guys that are playing well right now, Peter Malnati, don't sleep on the guy who just won. 130 to 1, he's riding it hot, riding good hot form. I like that number on him, and I'll go right back to the well on Bud Cauley. He missed the cut by one shot at the Valspar. He looked pretty good still. He had a couple blow-up holes that killed his entire weekend, but he's playing really well this year. He's 150 to 1. You can go down even farther, and there's guys down here that I'm going to throw a couple bucks on. Brandon Wu, Hayden Springer. And let's go all the way down here, all the way down. Just keep scrolling. He's way down here. Eric Barnes, 350 to 1. You can also throw some on Rico Hoey, who showed up last week, who's also 350 to 1. There's guys down here who have no business being that long, but we're going to take advantage of it. Even if you're throwing a top 20 or top 40 bet or even a made cut bet on some of these guys, you're going to want to make sure that you put those names on your radar. Alejandro Tosti, he's an Argentinian, one of the longest hitters on tour. I think he's going to show up this week too.
Really? What is the appeal with Barnes at 350 to 1?
Ball striking, just tee to green. He's got it. His short game hasn't been great, which shows up. but 350 to 1, you're not expecting to check all the boxes by any stretch.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I don't know if their games really fit the course, but Ryan Palmer at 250 to 1 just strikes me as too good a player to have odds that long, even though he hasn't really gotten anything cooking yet. It's still early in the year. And Stuart Sink, who was, doing okay, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? It was just this last week, right? He was had a share of the lead for a while. 300 to 1? I mean, like, I know he's an older dude, and maybe this course is just too long for him at this point, but I don't know.
You know,
I don't like betting defending or guys coming off wins. So Peter Malnati, if you're going to bet someone who wears a bucket hat, Bo, what about your guy, Joel Damon, who you were touting last week. He's 80-1 this week, only finished 49th at Valspar, but he's finished 5th and 9th in two previous trips to Memorial Park.
Yeah, and it's a place where his short game, which is pretty solid, can show up. He's not a long hitter by any stretch, but he doesn't make that many mistakes. And where I worry about him is, even though he finished well in those two tournaments before the Valspar, his off the tee game is pretty shaky, and that is an important factor here. Where he played well here in the past, he was also a lot less shaky at that moment. But I'll always root for Joel Damon, whether or not I'll bet on him. I'm actually going to look at this in that same area. I love Toasty. Alejandro Toasty at 350-1 is going to be a dark horse sleeper for me.
Oh, okay. I like the Toasty. The Toasty wager. We're going to have to do that. I'll piggyback you on that one. One more guy I got to mention, Matty Schmidt again.
Yep.
I talked about him last week, Bo. Missed the cut in his first six events of 2024. And the last 3 weeks, he's found something. 10th, 26th, and 17th. So I'm just going to roll with another small little outright on Matty Schmidt this week.
He's a bomber. We love bombers at this course. Matty Schmidt is a volatile pick. Let's just say that. Volatile.
Yes.
But sometimes that's what it takes.
So what do you have on your betting card as of now, Bo?
So I'm going out there full unit outright bets on Wyndham Clark and Sahith Theegala. I'm doing half units on Bo Hostler and Jake Knapp, along with top 10s on both of them. And I'm going to throw a bunch of buck shots. $5 on Cam Champ and on Alejandro Toasty. And I'm starting to talk myself into another one on Bud Cauley.
Nice. I, too, am going to bet Sahith Theegala. I'm thinking about Zalatoris. Have not done it yet. So right now, just Theegala. Mackenzie Hughes, I'm going to bet at 60-1. Akshay Bhatia, Bo. We said last week that we were off the wagon until he showed us something. Finished 17th last week. I think I'm going to get back on. And then small outrights on Joel Damon, Matty Schmidt, Ryan Palmer, and Stuart Sink. So dialing it back.
Bucks on my guy Toasty.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to make a very small outright on Toasty. And I'm did I say Knapp? I've got to piggyback you on Jake Knapp too. You're so right about that. I mean, like, Florida positional golf, not his thing. Bomb and gouge, that's his thing. So I'm on board with it. All right, Bo, let's get to our one and done picks. I am in a deep freeze right now. I've had three straight players miss the cut, the latest being Sam Burns, who, you know, just won Valspar two of the last 3 years and had a top 10 and then misses the cut for me. So another week of 0-1 and done money. You, on the other hand, took Cameron Young, outstanding call, got you the solo second, good for $915,000 and another 600. 915, 600. So you're destroying me now, Bo. You are up over 4.3 million and I am at about 1.2 million and you are up first this week. Which way are you going to go?
I'm going to go with Wyndham Clark.
All right. I will go Sahith Theegala this
Good
week.
Pick.
So
I hope for both of our sakes that Theegala does well. So obvious reasons. But last week, Sam Burns cost me a lot of money in DFS because he was the only guy in a bunch of my lineups that missed the cut. I had a bunch of long shots make the cut and score a bunch of points for me. And I had one lineup that would have won three different tournaments if Sam Burns had just made the cut, but he missed it by one shot, and that was it.
I just kept waiting for him to get something going and just did not do it in either of the first two runs. Still only missed it by one stroke, but man, that was depressing.
Zero.
And yes, and that is going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Sign up for Underdog with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit match up to $100 plus a special pick available for you in the lobby. And please come join Bo and I again next week when we will be previewing the Valero Texas Open. We're getting closer and closer to the Masters, Bo. 2 weeks away, but next week, the final tune-up, Valero Texas Open. Until then, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.